Thank you, and welcome to this ASP.NET sample video. In this video, we'll use Visual Studio Team Edition for software testers to examine the ASP.NET application and examine two uses of the View State feature. Using Visual Studio Team Edition for software testers, we'll see how one approach to using View State can negatively impact both our performance and our scalability. Let's start our video by creating an improper approach to using the view state functionality. So we'll call this our bad view state page, if you will. What we'll do with this page is add a few basic controls to it. So we'll drag and drop a combo box onto our web designer form. Once we have our combo box, what we'll do is that we'll bind it to a data source. So we don't have a data source right now, so we'll create a new one. And we will specify a database that we already created earlier for this application. We'll work our way through this connection configuration wizard. And instead of specifying a query, what we'll do is we'll use a stored procedure that we've already created. What we'll do in our database is pull back a list of all 50 states in the United States of America. So our stored procedure is getStates, and to test our query, we can see that that stored procedure will return all 50 states in the United States. And we'll use that data and attach it to the combo box that we just created. What we've done as ASP.NET developers is really common. We've taken the control and we've bound that control to a data source. Now, whenever the underlying data that that data source is working with changes, our control will be immediately updated to display that new data. Now, that is the right approach for a number of different types of data. But if you think to the data that we're displaying, all 50 states in the United States of America, most likely that data, those 50 states, aren't going to change between requests, probably not going to change very often at all. However, by choosing the data binding the way that we've done it, we've actually taken a hit in terms of performance and scalability because of the view state that will be transferred from request to request. We'll see that in more detail once we involve a Visual Studio Team Edition for Software Testers web test. Before we compare this approach of using view state with a better approach, let's add a few more controls onto our web form. All we're going to do is add a button that invokes a postback, and in the event handler for that postback, all we'll do is output a little message to ourselves to check the state of the combo box, to make sure the state that we selected is still there. So whether that the state of that control has been preserved across a postback. This will come in, become more important when we look at the other approach to using view state and data binding. Now let's take another approach to creating the same type of page. So we'll call this a better approach to view state. And what we'll do in this approach is that we'll change the way that we're data binding our controls. The first thing we'll do is let's drag and drop a combo box onto our form the same way that we did last time. But one difference that we'll do this time is instead of binding that control directly to a data source, let's just drag and drop a data source onto our form manually. So we'll configure the data source in the exact same way. We'll call our getDataStore procedure, do a quick test, make sure that it returns the data we're expecting, and we'll finish. Now we have that data source on our form. It's not visible, but what we'll do is we'll manually do some data binding to our control because we know the data that we're working with is not likely going to change, so we don't need that immediate update that we get by default. And let's also add that postback button and the status label that we had on our first approach to using view state. And we'll do the exact same thing in the postback. We'll update the text of the label to have a little reminder for us to make sure that the state that we selected is in fact still selected. And now we'll start our alternative approach. What we'll do is we'll override the onInit function that's part of the page class, and this is where we'll do our initialization. So we'll data bind, just like we data bound in the designer, we'll just do it manually. What we'll do is we'll set the data source of our dropdown list, and the text values that our dropdown list will display are just the name field that comes back from our stored procedure. And the same is true for the value text field. Is just going to be the name that comes back from the getState stored procedure. This is basically what the designer did for us. We're just picking and choosing exactly when in the ASP.NET page. And in our second approach, what we'll do is we'll change the markup of our ASPX, and in the drop-down list declaration, we'll set the enabled view state property to false. So by default, that's true. What we're doing is selectively turning off view state for one of our controls, the drop-down listener. Now let's give our second approach a try. We have our list of states. We'll choose Kentucky, and then we'll post back. Now this is really where some of the confusion in view state occurs. We have view state turned off for this drop-down control, but notice that the choice that we made, Kentucky in this case, persists between post backs. Most people would think that, well, if I have view state disabled, I shouldn't have my choice preserved. In fact, the combo box and the text box, they will set their values based on the values that they post back to the page. So in this case, we posted back Kentucky, and ASP.NET is able to set the state of our drop-down list back to Kentucky, even though the view state for this particular control has been turned off. What we'll see in a few seconds here is when we use Visual Studio Team Edition for software testers to record a couple web tests based on these two different approaches, and we examine the results that come back, we'll see how turning off view state in this case, in the second approach where we didn't really need it, really dramatically affects the amount of data we're sending back and forth. Okay, now let's close this down, and we'll go in and add a web test that will measure both of our approaches. So we'll create our web test and we'll record. First, we'll have a request to our bad approach first, and we'll do a post back and capture that into our web test. Now let's change that to capture our better view state approach. We'll do the exact same thing. We'll select a state and we'll post it back, and that will become our web test. Now when we run this web test, we'll really see some interesting data between these two approaches. And just to help delineate between our two requests, let's create a transaction that wraps up our bad approach to view state as a transaction. And we'll do the same for our better approach. This way, if we ever use this web test in a load test, we can get per transaction specific timing information. In our case, we'll just run these as web tests. But this is, you know, one nice way of also documenting what your web test is doing. Now let's actually run our web test. And as Visual Studio Team Edition for Software Tester spins up, it executes all four requests. And this is where we can see some really interesting information. Notice the size of each request. For the two requests that make up our bad approach to using view state, the size of the data being passed back and forth is 14K. However, in our better approach to using view state, the size of that data is actually half, so it's just 7K. Remember, the user interfaces for both approaches were basically the same, a combo box, a button, and a label. But our better approach to view state is half the size. Now let's have a closer look and see why that first approach is so much bigger. Now if we look at the details behind one of our bad view state requests, we can see that the view state parameter, which is a hidden field, is actually very large. It looks like four or five lines of this base64 encoded string. So what ASP.NET does is, to save the state of the controls on the page, it captures some information, encodes it with base64, and passes it between requests as a hidden field. Now, because we data bound our drop-down control when we did, what's being encapsulated or being encoded in that view state is the value of all 50 states that we're displaying in our combo box. Now, of course, that data doesn't change very often, so we're essentially bloating our view state parameter when we don't have to. Now, to contrast, let's have a look at one of our better approaches. Now, when we look at the details behind that response, we can see that the view state is a lot smaller. It fits on one line. Because in this case, we're not encoding all 50 states. That data is part of our view state, so it becomes much, much smaller. So you can see that 7K, that 7K difference between the two approaches is really just bloated, unnecessary view state. So being able to use your view state properly, based on the data that you're trying to display, based on the different types of controls that you're using, can really impact your performance and scalability, as well as security because of the data that you're passing back and forth inside that view state hidden parameter. In this case, using Visual Studio Team Edition for Software Testers, we can see that we can easily cut in half the size of the data that we're passing between our server and client by simply using view state in a more appropriate manner. And that's certainly going to increase our performance and scalability. Thank you.